Welcome back, Hyunjin Ryu, fresh off the injured list. His first start since July 31st. Comes back, 7 shutout innings, scatters just 5 hits, strikes out 4. Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger providing the offense. Justin Turner with 2 home runs. Cody Bellinger, his 38th of the season, as the Dodgers down the Diamondbacks 9-3. Welcome to Dodger Talk here on the flagship AM570 LA Sports. Our phone number, 866-987-2570. 866-987-2570. If you want to jump on board, if you're leaving Dodger Stadium, sitting in traffic on your way home on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, heading back to the Valley, the West Side, back out to the Inland Empire, San Gabriel Valley, or the Orange County area, give us a call, 866-987-2570. I'm joined now, as always, by the great Ned Colletti from Sportsnet LA, longtime Dodger general manager, 30-plus years as a baseball executive in the sport of baseball. Ned, just another ho-hum Sunday afternoon for the Dodgers. Some good defense, plenty of offensive support with the home runs, and Hyunjin Ryu dominating on the mound today, Ned.
Ryu was terrific. You think about being off for 10 days there, but he doesn't do a whole lot of throwing between starts, but he come back and changeup was great today. He had great feel for it. It's a feel pitch, obviously, but he had Arizona off balance the entire time. I think if his ERA stays where it's at right now or even goes lower, he'll have the second lowest ERA in the history of the National League. Not a bad year.
Not bad at all. And you look at the 91 pitches that he threw today, Ned. I mean, the first inning, he leads off the game by hitting LeCastro in that first inning. And other than that, you know, he gets a ground ball to get out of it after 15 pitches. He had a ground ball, 5-4-3 double play in the sixth to get out of his really only jam of the game, in which he gave up back-to-back singles to lead off that sixth inning. As Justin Turner said, he's sort of like Houdini, just kind of getting out of trouble. But it's like it's effortlessly. It's not like he's out there sweating and it's a jam and it's a 3-2 pitch and bases loaded. It's just he gets out of, you know, a runner on first and second jam with a nice double play ball, and it was only a 7-pitch inning in that sixth inning.
Well, he also, I thought, right out of the gate, was really reading Arizona's aggressiveness. He got some good right-handed hitters on that club. And a right-handed hitter, when you're throwing changeups to the other side of the plate, to the left-handed batter's box side of the plate, and they're low and they're soft, and you try to pull them, you're going to either miss it or you're going to hit ground balls to the left side most of the time. And that's what you saw him do. And he got out of that little jam there in the first inning after hitting LeCastro to start the game. Had a double play, really a slick play there by Muncy and Seager combination. But I think when you watch him pitch, you learn a lot about pitching. He's one of those guys that can take you to school a little bit, whether you're the other team or whether you're just interested in the craft of pitching. Because he knows what to do. He'll work the ball soft away, soft away, soft away, run a cutter in, run a fastball up or a fastball down. A lot of key pitches today down at the bottom of the zone, and he continues to expand the strike zone down. You see, some guys expanded away, and he did that a little bit, but also expanded the strike zone down, which is a way to really induce a lot of ground ball.
4 more home runs from the Dodgers. Justin Turner connecting on 2 of those home runs, his 18th in his 19th of the season. He goes 2-for-4 with a couple of home runs and 3 RBI. If he can kind of jumpstart after today's game moving forward, it'd be nice to get him going.
Well, he's someone that, you know, we talk about Bellinger and the great year that he has had, and certainly Will Smith and what he's been able to do, and Muncy and all the home runs and everything. JT is a very, very steady performer. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, he was probably the key guy to the offense. And I still think he's the key guy in the room for the position players. And his offense is still good. He's 1 home run shy of 20. He's got 6-plus weeks to get to that kind of milestone, that little landmark in a hitter's mind. But really a steady player. And we've seen him always start the season a little bit slow. Of course, last year had the wrist injury. But starts slow, and then as the longer the season goes, the better he gets. Got a couple sliders today that kind of hung over the middle of the plate just for a second longer than Leak probably wanted him to. Hit them both out, and I think, you know, JT is somebody that you never take for granted. The offense, the defense, the leadership, and just the solidness that he brings to the club.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger hits his 38th home run of the season, 2-for-4. He had a couple of RBI, but it was nice to see Will Smith, the 2-for-3 today, the double, the 2-run home run, the 3 ribbies. And the at-bat that he had, Ned, on the 2-run home run in the bottom half of the third inning, there was 2 outs, and Corey Siegel doubled down the right field line. Seager's standing at second with 2 outs. And facing like Mike Leake, they're already up 4-0 on an 0-2 slider, He hangs it over the middle of the plate, and Will Smith connects it for a two-run home run. I love the fact that he connected on an 0-2 pitch and capitalized off the mistake that Mike Leake made, and the fact that the Dodgers are still grinding with two outs and they're up 4-0 already.
He is a very, very impressive player. You know, a year or so ago, people were wondering if he was going to hit at the big league level. He's smart. He's a very smart player. He's got a good calmness to him, either at the plate, behind the plate. Nothing seems to get him rattled or quicken that pulse. I think that, you know, had a tremendous day when you think about it. You're right, 0-2 slider, hits it out to left field. Then he's got a double to right field later in the game, sacrifice fly to right field. Really some good hitting. Just solid. Just another solid player. And I've been saying it the last few days. You know, you see young players come up. You rarely see young players come up that don't struggle. You rarely see young players that come up and really take control of a situation. And you also don't usually see it in the middle of a season. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of a trace of it in September when you're going 40-man versus 40-man. And you may have a Triple-A pitcher out there or Triple-A infielders, outfielders, or if you're a pitcher, Triple-A hitters. But this guy's playing in the middle of the season. Started really kind of at the halfway point, a little bit after that perhaps, and has really been impressive. Think about a bad throw he's made. Think about a bad play he's made. Think about a bad at-bat he's had. I don't know if he's going to come up with one of any.
Yeah, it's hard to think of it because he's just produced every time that he has come up. Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks today 9-3. They clubbed four more home runs. Justin Turner, a pair of those home runs. Cody Bellinger, home run number 38. Will Smith goes 2-for-3 at the double, the two-run home run. He finishes with 3 RBI. Hyunjin Ryu, welcome back. 7 shutout innings. He lowers his ERA to 1.45, now 12-2 overall in the season as the Dodgers improved to 79-41. 866-987-2570 is our number. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to David in Alhambra. He's going to start things off here on Dodger Talk with Ned and Tim. How you doing, David?
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Doing
Thanks
good.
For taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing I was going to bring up is that I was listening to MLB's Sports Talk again. Eric Burns was saying that, you know what, I like the Dodgers, but it's getting boring now just to hear about them because they're winning all the time. But that's the way it is. You win some, lose some, right?
Yeah, that's how the game of baseball works. David, appreciate the phone call. I loved hearing what Justin Turner said after the game, Ned, because this was something that's been talked about here on the station for the last couple of days. We talked about it with you on Rogan and Rodney on Friday, that you have such a big lead in the division. What are you playing for? How do you motivate yourself to go out there every day in August knowing that your magic number is now 25 and you're going to win the division and you're the best team in the National League? And to hear Justin kind of echo what we've been talking about is, you want home field advantage. You want home field advantage throughout the World Series. The numbers point that out. 8-0 now on the season is Hyunjin Ryu at Dodger Stadium. 12-2 overall on the season. Clayton Kershaw's record much better at home than on the road. The Dodgers team is now 48-16 at home, where they're just 6 games over 500 on the road. You want home field advantage. And I loved hearing Justin say, hey, that's our motivation. We want home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
I think there's that. I think there's other things people play for too. I think you're playing for certainly home field advantage. You're also playing to, as you get to the end of a season, to have your presentation and just how you play the game to be at its highest level of a season as you hit teams that can pitch and you hit teams that can play. You know, the Dodgers have really dominated this league, especially at Dodger Stadium. A lot of teams can't pitch. A lot of teams, we say it all the time, the game is too long. And the Dodgers take advantage of that. You'll have a little bit less of a chance to do that when you get the deeper you get into the month of October. I also think what they've done is really smart in that they've created competition inside that clubhouse. It's a great clubhouse. You talk about people that get along and work in the same vein. I think that they've created competition for opportunity, an opportunity in October. And I think it's very, very wise because you have a lot of, you know, you sit down and put together a 25-man roster. Mm-hmm. It is not going to be an easy thing to do.
No.
So you've got a lot of competition, especially on the pitching staff, to see where people are going to fit, how it's all going to shake out. So I think that's been great. And you got a really great team, great franchise that has been stellar for 6-plus years and even a little bit longer than that. But you've also got a little bit of the sting of not winning the World Series the last 2 years after getting there. And it's never easy to get there. It's a tough road to get there. And I think that this team has been riveted on it since Game 5 against Boston last year to get to it again and really finish it off with a victory this time. And in order to do that, you got to play well. You can't take your foot off the gas. You got enough veterans on this team that know you can't stop. You can't take a breath because somebody will go past you at some point in time. And you got enough kids on this team that are trying to get established and trying to earn their way onto a postseason roster, and also set an example for going forward for next year.
Great point. A lot to play for this Dodgers team. Still now on August 11th with a 19-game lead, their season-high lead in the division now up to 19 games. They are now 38 games over 500 on this season with a 9-3 win over the Diamondbacks. Congratulations to Deborah Lewis of Altaloma, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in today's game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card at good at over 100 Daniel's locations, go to am570lasports.com. Keyword, home run. Let's go to Anthony in Rancho Cucamonga is next up with Ned and Tim here on Dodger Talk after the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 9-3. How you doing there, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Anthony. Love the name, pal.
Good. I know. Awesome game. Tim, I loved your story on Petros with the snakes, man. Trust me. I hate snakes, too, man.
I hate snakes. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just a couple comments. I'm going to go to the question. I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself, but I was looking at the road trip and then the next couple of weeks with the next couple of off days on back-to-back Mondays. I was thinking that maybe, you know, if it's possible, we could give, you know, put Bueller, Walker Bueller on the IL with a quote-unquote, let's go with thumb soreness, just to, you know, save him about maybe 12-plus innings. Because the way I'm looking at it, I think he's going to pitch on Thursday and next Wednesday against Toronto. Which personally, I don't need to see him dominate, you know, two teams that are under 20 games under 500. So I think it would be good to give him a couple starts off. And I know this Gonsolin has a pitch down in OKC. I don't know. That's just my opinion. What do you think, guys? All right. Happy Sunday.
It's interesting, Anthony. Appreciate the phone call. Now, injuries are nothing to joke about, but you know, sometimes you go on the injured list because you're sore and things just don't feel right. We hear about load management, and Ned, with this big lead, we heard the Dodgers front office, and we heard the Dave Roberts talk about, you know, we're going to try to get guys breaks here or there, whether it's, you know, pulling a guy after six innings just so he doesn't get too many pitches underneath his belt there. Does it make sense to hold back a Walker Bueller for a start or two just to limit those innings a little bit?
You know, I think you might see it. Hmm. I think when you look at, and I was just looking at today, there was no Dodgers starting pitcher in the top 10 in innings pitched in the league.
Wow.
So, you know, they've been smart with their usage. And, you know, the caller makes a great point. I think you'll hardly ever see anybody go through a start where they're going to struggle with an inning or two and then continue to pitch. I think you're going to see limited starts to see Walker sit out, miss a start or so. I don't think it's out of the question. I think there's all sorts of things that they're going to continue to monitor and continue to do. It's one of the pluses of having the depth that they have. It's one of the pluses of having a May and a Gonsolin, guys mm-hmm. that can go out there and start. And it's how you look at the team from really 30,000 feet and put it together and then figure out how you're going to manage every aspect of it, including the usage of your starting pitching. Because they're going to end up in a postseason against another team. You watch. They'll have a starting pitcher with 150, 155 innings going against somebody with 180, 190, 200 innings. Mm. And you can't tell me that the 180, 190 inning guy is fresher than somebody in the 150 to 160 range. It's impossible.
Right.
And, you know, the stress of the season, the stress of pitching in key spots, I think that the Dodgers have been so wise with it. And I think that, you know, the caller brings up a good point. Yeah. It's got a potential to do it.
Selfishly, I would like to see Walker Bueller pitch against the Toronto Blue Jays next Wednesday the 21st, just to see him go against three of the best young players in baseball in Biggio, Bichette, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. I think that would be fun for baseball to see that matchup. And then the Yankees, of course, coming to town that weekend as well. Let's take one more call here, Ned. Let's go to Doug and Tarzana is next up here on Dodger Talk with Ned Colletti, Tim Cates after the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 9-3. How you doing there, Doug?
I'm doing good. How are you guys this afternoon?
Good.
Doing fine. Thank you, bud.
Not to beat a dead horse, but is the bullpen issue, is it mental, or is it just they're having problems throwing the ball?
Appreciate the phone call, Doug. Maybe the bullpen, the guys that were out there today just aren't as good as – I don't know. I shouldn't say they're not just as good. They're out there. They're competing. Yimi Garcia, though, Ned, here's the facts. Yimi Garcia in 2019, 12 home runs, 11 walks, 9 singles, and 8 doubles. He's getting hit around the ballpark. JT Chargois gave up the two-run home run after the leadoff single, the two-run shot from Nick Ahmed Jr. Will we see these guys pitch in October? Who knows? But I think now we've talked about it over and over and over again. It's audition time right now for these guys and the young guys who have been starting and spot starting to see who's going to be pitching come October.
Absolutely. And when you get to October, more than any other time, and it's a saying, as you got to be able to make a pitch. And you've got to be able to not just throw a strike, but throw a strike in an effective part of that strike zone, or out of the strike zone to get somebody to chase. Tougher to do in a postseason than in a regular season. But I do think it is sort of audition time, and you've got a lot of different choices. I think the mainstays, the guys you could put in there right now, are going to be fine. Kelly has been tremendous.
Yeah.
Kelly was a lot better yesterday after a little bit of maybe a downturn on Friday night. I'm talking about a guy that had pitched only a second inning in 10 days when he got to Friday. So the bullpen to me is not a concern. I think it is a little bit of an audition. It's not spring training, don't get me wrong. But when you think about having a 19-game lead mm-hmm. with 40 games to play or 42 games left, you know, there's, you know, it's like Justin Turner, our conversation a minute ago about what you're playing for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're playing for the opportunity to participate on the team when you get to the postseason. And I think you've got to be able to make a pitch, and guys are going to get opportunity, and you got to keep the ball in the yard if you're Yimi. And you've got to do the same thing if you're Chargois and anybody else, because it is audition time. And you build your information base and you make your decisions based on information that you receive pretty much daily. Every time you see a game, you're seeing all sorts of things that you can put in your mind and make a decision with. And this stuff will last. It'll be in everybody's mind as you go forward, and that's how to put the team together. Who's the best group? Who's the best 12 or 13 pitchers that they've got? No matter really if they're starters or relievers, you can mix and match when you get to October. But that it is time for guys to really show what they can do and earn that spot if they're going to do it.
Hyunjin Ryu showed it today with the 7 shutout innings. He picks up his 12th win of the season, lowering his ERA to 1.45. The Dodgers get the win 9-3 over the Diamondbacks. They're now 79-41 overall in this season. Remarkable. 38 games over 500. That is a season high. Also a season high 19 games up in the NL West. And their magical number now is 25. Ned, today is an anniversary of sorts. 25 years ago today, the sport of baseball had a strike. I remember where I was at. It was August 11th, 1994. I was on a family vacation back in Baltimore at Camden Yards, of all places, and I'm pretty sure the game was rained out, if my memory serves me correct. And I remember grabbing a sign from the Baltimore newspaper little dispenser there that had a baseball, and it said no strike, asking for the players not to do it. I still have that at my parents' house somewhere. And I remember that day vividly because the next day, baseball went on strike, and it was the longest work stoppage until the NHL lockout, I believe, in the mid-2000s. But it was a bad time for baseball. It lasted 200-plus days. It sort of changed baseball from at that point. You were in baseball at that time. Do you remember Yep. August 11th, 1994?
Oh, yeah. And it was the beginning of a very, very long period of time. And if you remember, teams used what they called replacement players in spring training to try and stimulate conversation with the major league players. And I can remember it was a Saturday before what was going to be an opening day with replacement players when a settlement hit. And then that season started about 3 weeks later in late April.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully we'll never see that again. There's been great growth in the game, great revenues in the game. The average salary of players continues to escalate to a very, you know, a good level, and as well it should for guys that play a limited. There's only so many of them in the whole world that play at this level in this league. So I think that you got to be wise with your conversations, and hopefully we'll never get to that point again, because to miss the World Series was really it left a hole in the game that you can work around it, you repair it, do a lot of good, but you're always going to have that one year as you look back on the history of the sport where it's going to say no games played.
Well, the sport of baseball was never the same in the city of Montreal. They were going to maybe win the World Series that year. They were the best team in the National League, if not the best team in baseball, with Vlad Guerrero and that talented group, and they don't win, and that team got disbanded and ends up moving later to Washington, D.C., and baseball has never been the same in Montreal. But as a kid, I remember thinking, what are these guys doing striking? This is the game of baseball. What are we arguing over? Now you're older and you're wiser, and you realize that there's some economics involved in the game on both sides, ownership and the players. But at the time, salary cap was a big thing they were fighting for, not to have the players. So, again, it's the economics of baseball. It's the ugly side of baseball that fans don't like seeing.
Well, and I started in 1982, and I covered the sport a few years before 1982. And if you go back to really the late 70s, and strikes and lockouts, every time the negotiation came up, it was the potential for either or. And, you know, we've been in a peaceful spot for many years now, 25 years. And that's due to a lot of hard work on both sides to keep it going and to keep some solidarity on both sides for the good of the game and for the fan bases that support it. But if you go back in the history of it, every 2 years, 4 years, every period of time that it came to the crossroads of a decision on do we lock out, do we go on strike, one of them happened. And I think that it was a really rugged period of time because as an executive and an employee in the game, every time you saw that negotiation coming up, you knew that it wasn't going to start early.
Yeah.
You knew that there was going to be acrimony, and you knew that one side or the other was going to force the other one into a spot that they didn't necessarily want to be in. And,
yeah.
and fortunately for 25 years, haven't been back to that point.
Yeah, thankfully today, 25 years ago today, they played their last games before that 1994 MLB strike. Well, the Dodgers today beat the Diamondbacks 9-3 to improve to 79-41. Ned, we'll do it again in a couple of days when the Dodgers head east to Miami.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good day there, Tim.
All right. Ned Coletti from Sportsnet LA. Thanks to David Magdaleno. Thanks to you Dodger fans for being a part of the show today. As the Dodgers, now a season-high 38 games over 500, a season-high 19 games up in the NL West. Their magic number now 25 to clinch the division. Folks, it's August 11th. Pretty remarkable what this Dodgers team is continuing to do here in 2019. They beat the Diamondbacks 9-3. So long, everybody.